Today on Seculo, Adam Schiff launches a media blitz to defend the Steele dossier lies.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo.
Do you regret it?
I don't regret saying that we should investigate claims of someone who, frankly, was a well-respected British intelligence officer.
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
It is virtually impossible to get that information to a federal judge for a secret surveillance warrant without the deputy director of the FBI knowing it. And I think all roads lead to Andy McCabe. His credibility is in question, not to mention that of Peter Schrock, Lisa Page, and Andy McCabe, who orchestrated the insurance policy to prevent Donald Trump from becoming president. That's their own text message.
And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
So we have Adam Schiff now. He's doing a Sunday show blitz in defense after we've learned all this information about the Steele dossier, the phony Steele dossier, the fact that the main source of the dossier has now been indicted by the FBI for lying to the FBI. He was making up this information with the Clinton campaign's top allies, including their top attorney, who's also been indicted by the FBI. So this is, again, the idea that the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee is going on national television, all the big Sunday shows, and defending the use of a phony dossier instead of allowing law enforcement to, take it and dissect it. But instead, he got out ahead of it, and he was the one, remember, saying he had the information proving that the Trump campaign colluded with Russia, and he would act like he had this smoking gun. But he was just relying on what has now been a completely debunked document. And the fact that we keep calling Christopher Steele well-respected, remember, the FBI fired him. The FBI fired him, ceased their relationship because he was leaking to the press. And by the way, why would you still say well-respected when he didn't do any backup research on this dossier to know that it was all lies? All lies. I want to play for you, Adam Schiff, so you can hear it on the Sunday shows. Do you have the bite up? Let's play it.
As chair of the House Intelligence Committee, do you regret giving some credibility to the Steele dossier before anybody had been able to verify anything in that? A lot of those clips were done before there was any good verification. Look, there's some news organizations that made the mistake of publishing this dossier without verifying it. That's a separate conversation for those news organizations. But you helped give it credibility. Do you regret it?
I don't regret saying that we should investigate claims of someone who, frankly, was a well-respected British intelligence officer.
They were partisan claims paid for by the Clinton law firm and was opposition research, and you had all those varying issues. But so right there, it starts off with, okay, maybe problem when you're making this kind of accusations against the sitting president of the United States that he is a Russian agent. Claiming that you know that he is a Russian agent. And remember, a special counsel gets appointed. Nothing comes of it. Nothing comes of that. And then Adam Schiff rushes to support impeachment of President Trump over a phone call with 35 people on it. So, of course, he doesn't regret the Steele dossier. He doesn't care about whether or not the impeachment was justified or not. It is taking intelligence, taking the work of the CIA, of the FBI, of a world which should be without politics, and playing politics with it, which is the worst you can do as a government official, is take information that may or may not be true and then utilize it to take down your political opponents. But that is, Adam Schiff is now on the defense here because these news outlets are also on the defense. We're going to talk about that, 1-800-684-3110. There's a lot to talk about today. President Biden preparing to meet with President Xi from China. That's later on this evening, so we'll talk about that. Again, we've got some work on life to update you on as well at the ACLJ. Let me encourage you, as always, during this month of November, is a matching challenge month. You can double the impact of your donation at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. Double your impact. We'll be right back on Seculo.
Thank you.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Essence, Adam Schiff is saying, I don't have any regrets about spreading lies about the President of the United States that plunged the country into this very partisan division. If you want to look back, you know there's a very high-profile trial going on today that's concluding its closing arguments today. If you want to look back at a lot of the start of this unrest in our country where we couldn't have conversations with each other about... someone on the other side of an issue that was everything was literally coming to blows and cities were on fire. It begins with the divisiveness of partisan actions by people like Adam Schiff, who were claiming that a person, half the country, wanted to be their president, who won the election, fraudulently won, and was a Russian agent working with Putin. And had done all these horrendous, salacious, and unverified things. Now, it's not that they're just unverified. It was totally false, made up. And we've known this. But now the media is beginning to accept that they were also wrong, and they're having to kind of figure out what to do. But I think, Wes, I want to go right to you, because the one thing, that Adam Schiff goes on these shows to defend his actions. And what you noted something you thought was even most troubling about kind of his behavior.
Yeah. I mean, even the Washington Post is acknowledging they made a mistake and they got it wrong, and that they you know, their reaction to this was not right. Adam Schiff not only did these things, I mean, he's the chairman of the Intelligence Committee in the House. He knew the truth, the information. He knew about the flaws, the holes in Steele's dossier and the story. But when he's confronted on the Sunday talk shows, his behavior and what he did was, at the very least, very, very wrong, and he was very, very mistaken. At the worst, he was conspiratorial. But when confronted, this is more alarming than what he did. There's no shame. There's no apology. There's no embarrassment. He could take a cue from the Washington Post and say, look, folks, I got it wrong. I goofed up, and I'm sorry. There is none of that. It's one thing to lie and to exaggerate and to use flawed material like Schiff did. But what is more alarming is that when caught and confronted, he does not appear to feel any sense of regret or responsibility, not only for what he did and the influence it had in wrecking people's lives, but what he did to the American people. It distracted and divided us for the bulk of Trump's presidency. Schiff does not feel normal guilt and responsibility. And that, Jordan, that's almost psychotic.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. We were at the impeachment trial, and that first impeachment trial, which he led that team, and hyper-partisan, very nasty. This wasn't about what was trying to do what was best for the country. You know, at the end of the day, that was what was clear. It wasn't an actual fear. It was a partisan divide. Because listen back to Adam Schiff. This is in 2017, and he talks about the dossier becoming public and other actions. Take a listen.
When you look at just what has become public, some of the public information is very much in line with what is reported in that dossier.
I mean, this, Harry, goes back to the idea that he always acted like he had something else. But whatever he's saying was in line with that dossier, it was all a coordinated effort, and it was just smoke and mirrors.
I think that's correct. And so if you look at Adam Schiff's behavior, and if you look at his absence of regrets about hyping and about lying to the American people, I think it is clear that he, and at least in my opinion, engaged in deliberate misrepresentations, particularly with respect to the dubious dossier. Adam Schiff loves to make explosive charges because he inhabits the world of make-believe. He stubbornly refuses to back down in spite of numerous indictments by John Durham showing that the Russia collusion narrative is merely a tissue of lies grounded in fabrication. But rather than surrender to the truth, rather than backing down like the Washington Post has, Adam Schiff continues to offer absurdities consistently with Voltaire's great claim that pushing absurdities leads inevitably to atrocities. And one of the most massive atrocities in American history has been the Clinton-inspired Russia collusion hoax. No one has done more to feed this narrative than Adam Schiff and the FBI. So while Schiff claims he has no regrets in giving credibility to the Steele dossier, he continues to insist that Christopher Steele is a well-respected British intelligence officer. It is clear, I think, beyond question, that Christopher Steele is arguably only well respected by preschoolers and toddlers.
Schiff again. I want to play by five because this idea that we didn't know that it was all going to be a lie. We were all saying that, and instead of just taking a reasoned approach to it, thinking about the issue, you kept pushing and pushing and pushing until we got a special counsel. That had nothing. Bite five.
And we couldn't have known, of course, years ago that we would learn years later that someone who is a primary source lied to him. But what I just said with the clip you just played ends up being exactly right, which is Steele did reveal that the Russians were trying to help elect Donald Trump. That turned out to be all too true.
Okay. This idea, one, the fact is that that was not Adam Schiff's claim. Adam Schiff's real claim was that Donald Trump was working as an agent for the Russians, that his apparatus had been so infiltrated. They had made some deal with the devil, if you will, to become president and be a Russian actor. That is what he was selling to the American people. Not that Russia meddles in our elections. I don't agree with him that Russia was trying to help elect Donald Trump. I think what Russia loves is the fact that they could put out a phony dossier with some really nasty stuff in it, and get a special counsel appointed and have the country on fire. I think that is where the Russians, if anyone was bamboozled by the Russians and played right into their hand of creating a uncertainty in our country and questions in our country, it's Adam Schiff. And I think what's important about Adam Schiff to note is that unlike many members of Congress, as the chair of the House Intel Committee, he could have received this information instead of running out to MSNBC, Wes, he could have said, we're going to investigate this. We have our investigative arm. We have our staff, the intelligence community, but we're not going to go public with this. We're not going to make this a public fight back and forth. We're going to see if this is some really serious allegations and some really nasty stuff. So let's actually do the job before we start this. That wasn't done. He deserves all the blame. And he was the one who was acting like a Russian agent in many ways because he was doing their bidding.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, what you just described would have been the responsible thing to do for the chair of the House Intelligence Committee, but he's not a responsible person, apparently. And what got me in his interview with Chuck Todd was whenever he was asked about this, his first response was, well, all I can tell you is Dushchenko, the Russian, who's been indicted, he deserves to be indicted. And I can also tell you that unlike Michael Flynn and Roger Stone, he will not be pardoned by this president. That has nothing to do with what happened. It has nothing to do with which the reporter asked him. That has nothing to do with that question. And so when he did that, I thought, wow, what a smokescreen. What a deflection. And I think this is where the American people are absolutely fed up with the disingenuousness and the dishonesty of people like Adam Schiff, and it's going to be reflected in our elections. They're tired of the lies and the distortions. And the reason the American people are tired of this is because normal American people, they do not operate with this level of clever deception and the parsing of words in order to get around the truth. Politicians, some of them do operate that way. Adam Schiff is the poster boy for people who operate with that level of deception and the parsing of words and trying to deceive people in order, to follow a political objective. And that's exactly what he did. He would have more integrity and more respect from the American people if he would simply say, I did wrong. I shouldn't have done it. I was mistaken. Some level of apology, but it's not forthcoming.
Well, this is a question to you. Do you believe Adam Schiff, instead of saying, he doesn't regret, they instead say, I do regret, because it's not that he has to love Donald Trump or love Republicans, but what it did to the country and what it plunged the country into, which was never ending. And it's still going on today. That's why I mentioned this high-profile trial. These issues facing and the nation on fire, literally, all starts because, again, fast and loose with info and intelligence and phony intelligence. Do you believe that Adam Schiff should apologize? 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Secular.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
This is breaking now, and I think it shows you where we should be focused as a nation when it comes to threats or issues from either adversaries or those who are at least in competition with, like the Biden administration likes to say. So this is breaking from CNN. The U.S. Space Command is aware of a debris-generating event in outer space. They're actively working to characterize the debris field and will continue to ensure all spacefaring nations have the information necessary to maneuver satellites if impacted. They continue on. The U.S. is, quote, very concerned about a major Russian anti-satellite weapons test. I guess that's what would cause the debris-generating event, would have been kind of an explosion or some kind of weapons firing over the weekend, and the State Department's preparing a statement. That's two U.S. officials to CNN. One, there you have real issues. I mean, I know sometimes, you know, space can be feel abstract for some of us because if you're not, again, in that field, you can still seem pretty far away. But it is very active for all of us. I mean, our broadcasting, our so much we rely on. And our focus as a country should be on these kind of issues and threats posed that cause threats to our infrastructure in space. And the fact is, I found it interesting the way that CNN reported this is, you know, the U.S. Space Command, as if that's just a given. That was mocked. Well, it's a branch of the military now, and it's being developed, still in some ways being developed, but they're already taking the lead on these matters. And it was President Trump who decided we have to do this. This needs to be its own branch of the military. That's how serious we're taking this kind of new frontier in the world of superpowers. And he was mocked. And yet the Russians taking real action, they're causing real problems, but we were spending all of our time on a phony dossier and issues like that.
Yeah, and we're totally distracted from the things that are not only important to the American people, but things that are vital to our national security. I mean, this is part of what we've tried to avoid for two generations, and that is the weaponization of space. And you're right. The Democrats roundly criticized Donald Trump for creating the Space Force. It was the topic of mocking by late-night comedians, you know, all through that time period. And yet, this is a real serious issue, a real serious threat. Whatever the Russians did over the weekend, apparently they did not count on the debris field being, you know, a threat to other satellites, to not even mention the International Space Station. In war, you could cripple a nation by taking out their satellites, and not only cripple their military, but their civilian population as well. I think the seriousness of this cannot be overstated, and we'll wait and see what is actually happening.
Yeah, I mean, Kathleen on YouTube wrote in on Schiff, Adam Schiff's bold-faced lie to Americans numerous times after each session of the impeachment. The media went right along with him. The media is starting to eat their own, starting to put out corrections. Some outlets have corrected every story, the way that they were reporting the information, as not debunked and as almost fact, the way it was put out there. And the question before the country was not like if it was true or not. It was whether or not the president should still be the president and whether or not this is something to remove the president over. But, you know, we're past that. But these actors have no regrets for what they – literally, that's their own words – no regrets for what they plunged the nation into. And, of course, we fought back, and you all know that. And the truth wins out ultimately. But the damage that's done in the meantime, that's not done. That's not something fixed. As a country, we hear about all these things every single day, but what drives the national discussion are the most divisive issues. And the most, and everything becomes partisan. And I think a lot of this started there. It wasn't so much issues. It wasn't like Adam Schiff was like, oh, Donald Trump's not socially liberal enough or this or that. It was they didn't like someone outside of their world coming into Washington, D.C. I think, and by the way, I'll say mostly partisan plus the bureaucracy, which is pretty partisan as well. So again, we're going to continue to update you on this. I do want to segue into another very important issue that we're working on the ACLJ. When we come back, second half hour coming up, we're going to get into a lot more. But we are doing a joint status report in court today on our FOIA with the Department of Health and Human Services on the fetal tissue research. Those are aborted babies that are then utilized in government-funded research. What was interesting, what we are trying to figure out is the funding continuing? What kind of moral considerations, legal considerations are going into that? The creation of the humanized mice with using aborted children's tissue. And while that's going on, what we did uncover, and again, this is just kind of the information that doesn't always get highlighted, was that the last time we received a lot of documents in October, it was clear is that the Trump administration and the officials were actually working to cancel the contracts for any of these body parts and experiments. So right there, again, you had the right thing being done by the Trump administration. The credit, again, this issue shouldn't be so divisive. I think, to me, Wes, this is kind of as well as gut check issues as a nation. Scientific research. I know that there's people on both sides of this issue. Some who kind of say, "Well, it's being done, and so why don't we just utilize it already?" But if you truly believe that this is human life and not just a blob, which I think this kind of proves to some extent, because if you can use these aborted children to do all this research, well, that does that show you that it's not just some fetus, but that there's human life there, or else these experiments wouldn't work. But part of our approach on this is looking at the moral justifications for it.
Yeah, I mean, as we've discussed on this show many, many times, you know, this is the moral issue of our time. It truly is. We actually are having debates and discussions about when it is acceptable to kill an innocent human being. And this idea of taking the body parts from the human being once the human being is killed is unconscionable. It should be a shock to all Americans that we're even having the discussion and that there are people who are actually for this. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so that is, again, an update for you. I think it's important to you in this first half hour why, you know, these issues are so important, because they're core to us at the ACLJ. This is something that's so important to our mission. So as we kind of approach this last minute before we come back for our second half hour, I just want to underscore that your support for the ACLJ is why we're able to, in just this first half hour, be directly involved in all these issues. It's not just, we're not reporting on information. We've got firsthand knowledge. We're either doing the legal work in court. We were either, you know, at the impeachment directly across from Adam Schiff fighting back on this. These are still very real issues. And then, of course, moving forward with all the issues that we're working on at the ACLJ. This is a great time to support our work. You can double the impact of your donation at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. Double your impact to your donation to Matching Challenge Month of November. And all this information, too, it's a great thing that we're able to do because of the legal funds. You can find it at ACLJ.org. So if there's something we're talking about in the broadcast in the hour that we have with you each day that you want to learn more about, you go to ACLJ.org. Make sure you sign up. Get our daily emails so you stay updated on the issues. And you can check out the information. We've got new info always going up. Support our work. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Yeah.
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever. This is Seculo. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo. And we are taking your phone calls too as well. Your comments there, 1-800-684-3110. I would like your comments on what is very important. President Biden will be meeting, and that's a virtual meeting, but it's the first, what they're calling the first face-to-face with President Xi in China. And remember, this is after he has been installed as this lifelong, forever leader. The Communist Party in China has given him this title. It's only Mao, one other Chinese official, and now President Xi, who has this. He has not left China much at all to travel, solidifying his grip there. At the same time, we know there are so many issues with Chinese actions all over the world, and we know that the administration's idea has been that it is not to confront, but it is to compete. So my core issue with that, Harry, when we're dealing with these supply chain issues and the kind of infrastructure, real infrastructure issues, is that you cannot compete with someone who is breaks all the rules. There has to be a rule book. Then you can compete. You can compete with someone who has rules, but they don't follow rules on intellectual property. They steal the technology. We are just starting to finally feel the effects of making these deals for cheap labor. And then we don't have the production capability here to make the chips that we need to keep phones going, new car production. I mean, the list goes on and on. The national security threats posed in Taiwan. So this meeting, again, we'll know more tomorrow after the meeting. But for me, they kind of play down the stakes. It's about competition. But this is about as high stakes as it gets.
It is, and the stakes would even be higher if we had a president who was prepared to confront Chinese dominance in so many areas. He's unwilling, in my opinion, to confront China's offensive moves against Taiwan. He's unwilling to confront China with respect to copyright and intellectual property violations. He's unwilling to confront China with respect to fair trade. And keep in mind, this is all taking place against a backdrop of a supply chain crisis. And so I think at the end of the day, the Biden administration's announced policy of being prepared to compete rather than confront basically paves the way for increasing dominance by China. So what we need in the White House, what we need in Congress, are government officials who are indeed prepared to confront, to ensure, for instance, that the Chinese do not commit human rights violations. And if they continue to do so, we should declare that we are unwilling to import parts and other items from China. But as a predicate to that, I think the Biden administration, they need to get their act together in the United States so that we produce more pharmaceutical products in the United States, so we are less dependent on China. But at the end of the day, I think the Biden administration is prepared to double down on its policy of a craven surrender to China on so many fronts. And I think that's appalling.
As we go to the next break, let me ask you this, because Jen Psaki said there's going to talk about a broad range of issues, but President Biden certainly not going to hold back on areas where he has concern. Do you believe that? I'm serious, folks. Do you believe that he's going to confront China? 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And by the way, is genocide something you're just concerned about? Because that's not something you just have questions about. His State Department has confirmed the ongoing genocide of Muslims in China. Think about that. For all those Democrats out there, they love to claim Islamophobia, this and that. It is Muslims in China. We call it out. They acknowledge it. But I guess it's just a concern. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110 as we kind of multi-topics and kind of setting up the week. So as the president prepares to meet virtually again, but his face-to-face meeting later on today with President Xi in China, and it's the first time, they said they've only had two phone calls since President Biden has been the president of the United States. He sometimes references past conversations at work as vice president, but as president, only two phone calls. This is the first official, I guess they're calling it like a meeting. We have the COVID issue. We have the genocide issue. We have the Chinese aggression issue in Taiwan. We have, the list goes on and on and on. But one of the issues we also see is in the Middle East. And how this all ties together, because this Chinese expansionism of their foreign policy, but also their military work, their security work, trying to undermine long-term U.S. relationships, not just in the region of the world where they operate, but moving over into the Middle East. Now, I want to say this. This is at a time when Ilhan Omar has got a proposal in Congress to stop a $600 million funding bill to the Saudis. Now, we have bases in Saudi Arabia. It's not that the Saudi Arabians are perfect, again, you're not going to find perfect governments in anywhere in the world, but certainly for our security, for our interest as a nation, it plays a very strategic role. They've played a very strategic role also in bringing down the tensions and the flame that can be lit quickly in the Middle East by, again, not playing up concerns with Israel, but instead, these smaller Gulf states were the ones who moved forward with peace agreements with Israel. Those were not states that in the past would have been able to take a lot of independent action if they thought that would have ruined their relationship with Saudi Arabia. So I think what is behind Ilhan Omar's proposal is, one, she doesn't like the Saudi kingdom. She doesn't like the royal family there. And she doesn't like their actions in Yemen specifically, where it's a failed state, and I'm sure there are bad actions on both sides, but you've got Iran backing a rebel group that just took over our embassy, by the way, and she wants the Saudis, who are involved directly in this because the Iranian-backed rebels in Yemen, who, while fighting the government that still exists in Yemen, it's basically become a Sunni-Shia war, it is, not just basically, But, you know, they also file rockets into Saudi Arabia. So when you have bases somewhere, you don't just start taking your funding away. And Wes, you talked to Secretary Pompeo last week about how China was making a move in. I want to play this for people, just kind of flashback of our own show, Byte 26.
We see Saudi Arabia really engaging with China and backing away from the U.S. And oh, by the way, we removed our Patriot missile batteries from Saudi Arabia, and we've suspended some of our weapons contracts for their own defense. And yet we wonder why they're backing away from us. Do you see any play between those issues?
Oh, Wesley, they're deeply connected. You raise a really important point. When I was a Secretary of State, one of the most important tools that I had in diplomacy was American energy. Countries that wanted American LNG, they didn't want it from the Russians. They wanted it from the United States of America because they could count and rely on it. Now the Biden administration has walked away from that. They've walked away from our important partners, the Saudis, the Emiratis, and the Middle East in ways that are unconscionable. This will put America at real risk. It will force them, those countries, to make really difficult decisions, and it reduces security for us right here at home.
I think we're you know, a key point there, Wes, is that this, we used to lead the world. You know, we had the best. You didn't want to buy Soviet equipment if you didn't have to. If you had to rely on that, maybe you did. But if you could have U.S. equipment, that was the gold standard. It is still the gold standard. It is a way we were able to broker part of the Abraham Accords through U.S. military equipment, defensive equipment. Right. The idea now that the Chinese equipment is, I would say it's necessarily on par with where we are in the United States, but it's not Soviet era. It's not something that you could just say, well, we've, you know, not have to worry about. Then these countries are starting to look and say, well, you know, if you take it from us, we'll look here. And China's ready to play that role.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And what we're doing, we are disenfranchising our allies like Saudi Arabia and pushing them towards the arms of the Chinese government. I mean, just very recently, in the last 2 weeks, the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, who's their de facto leader, had his first high-level meeting with Chinese officials. Why? Because of part of what Mike Pompeo and I were talking about. We have removed our Patriot missile batteries from Saudi. Those are defensive missiles designed to protect not only the Saudi military, but the civilian population centers. We pulled them out. We have suspended arms sales to Saudi Arabia. Do we wonder why they're leaning now, you know, towards China? And just to add insult to this crazy foreign policy injury, just a couple of weeks ago on a CNN town hall, President Biden was talking about the high price of gasoline because he's been begging Saudi and the OPEC nations to increase production to bring the gasoline prices down, because not only are the gasoline prices high, but that's fueling global inflation. And, of course, the Saudis thus far have refused to do that. Here's what President Biden said. There's a lot of Middle Eastern folks who want to talk to me, but I'm not sure I'm going to talk to them. And he goes on and makes this not-so-veiled reference to his refusal to meet with Crown Prince Salman. He has actually refused to sit down with the Saudi Crown Prince. And yet, does he even wonder why the Saudi Arabians are now leaning towards China, why their very existence and the defense of their population centers depends on our weapons that we have suspended and removed? You know, Omar wants to further penalize Saudi Arabia. Is there any move by Omar or any of the squad to penalize Iran for supplying the weapons there in Yemen, weapons that frequently are targeted on civilian population centers in Saudi Arabia? It's like there's an epidemic of insanity as far as foreign policy goes around this White House, and it impacts not only our national security, it impacts commerce, trade, inflation, our finances. And you know, it's sad to say, but the ramifications, the second and third order effects of these policies by the Biden administration appear to be going right over their heads. They don't understand why our former allies, they're still our allies, but our allies in the Middle East are hesitant about the United States and that they're backing away from us and moving towards Russia and China.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Harry, everything went wrong with China is that at first it was, well, it's just an economic battle. It's not a military battle. They're not really spreading an ideology. And that was, listen, I mean, that was the kind of going away. And I think you could kind of sense that they weren't really ready yet when they were initially, I remember they're doing their work. We were doing our work in Africa, and they were doing work there. And they would, again, it would kind of feel that way. They were really just doing it for the business. There wasn't much of an ideology coming behind it, or military side to it. That was anything too serious. But what they were doing the entire time was building up to that point. They were putting in the infrastructure. I know the key word that everybody likes talking about these days, but they were building the ports throughout the world. They were putting it, they were getting the technology, using the forced labor. And they, in a sense, have started, I kind of turned a new leaf with exporting a kind of, whether or not, it's not their brand of communism, because what these countries love is that they still say, well, we're not really meddling in your how you want to do your business. But by turning a blind eye to everything and everyone, and if you could start producing the kind of products, materials, or labor, military weaponry that these countries desire, and it may be that's getting better and better, so it's more of competition with us, suddenly you can become pretty attractive to these countries who can't really put a finger on or trust where the U.S. policy is.
I think that's precisely correct. So if you look at the country of China, China believes in a whole-of-country approach rather than simply a whole-of-government approach that apparently the Biden administration favors. So China has a unified goal. Its objective is world domination in virtually every aspect of human life, from the supply of electronics, from the supply of chips, from the supply of pharmaceuticals. And now they're extending their dominance in Africa, in Asia, and various other parts of the world. Why? Because the United States has basically given up influencing many areas of the world. And so I think at the end of the day, we are without weapons in fighting the Chinese, not because we don't have weapons, but because we lack the will to win. We lack the will to put the United States first. And that, unfortunately, is Biden's gift to the American people.
All right, folks, final segment coming up. There a lot to get into here, and obviously a lot of information that we will be able to get after the readouts of this. But we know this is not a one-day issue. This is not a two-day issue. This is a multi-year approach. And it's a problem, a real serious threat to our country. If you've got questions about it, if you've got comments on it, 1-800-684-3110. Support our work at ACLJ.org with our matching challenge the entire month of November. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Too Secular, our final segment today. Let me encourage you. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. As we, again, I know we're approaching the holiday season and with Thanksgiving not too far away on the horizon. So it's a time for us where we are, in November and December, it's not just a preparing for the future. You know, we're working, and there's a lot going on. Of course, we tell you as much as we can always. That's part of what we do at ACLJ. But you know, a lot of work going on that we haven't yet, you know, can't always announce right away that we're working on too. And then, of course, you know about all the work that we do. Constantly are putting information about, whether it is today we focus a lot on foreign policy and these foreign actors, starting with Adam Schiff and the House Intel Committee chair, saying he has no regrets about peddling the phony information in the Steele dossier. We have we've talked about China, we've talked about Russia, we've talked about Ilhan Omar and this idea in Saudi Arabia, and how the Chinese the meeting tonight with President Biden, President Xi in China, not in China, but virtually, but these issues that we are facing. We're working on all of this, the ACLJ. So when I come to you and say, we talk about these issues, we spend an hour with you each day, it's not something that we're just spending on, you know, the 10 minutes on today. This is significant work at the American Center for Law and Justice, whether it's our legal work. We talked about the case on life. That case dates back to March. The idea here in March of 2021, we are not only getting to the bottom of the issues, whether we are representing South Dakota and their informed consent federal court there, whether it's the briefing in the case upcoming, the Dobbs case out of Mississippi at the Supreme Court December 1st, you know, the list goes on and on. You can see it at aclj.org. But let me encourage you today, if you're someone who enjoys the broadcast, supports the work that we do at the ACLJ, this is a great time to support our work. And I want to talk to a bit of people who maybe haven't done this before. If you've never supported our work, this is a cool month to do it, because you could double the impact of your donation. At the ACLJ, we know that you're getting a lot of different solicitations. And if you're someone who's active in political donations or to other organizations, we understand you have decisions to make about where to use your resources. If you're in that situation, I would say that only give if you can, and if you're in that financial position. But if you are, and you're thinking about, okay, where do I want to use these resources? Let me just tell you, just take a few minutes. Don't just take our word for it on the broadcast. Look at what we're actually doing through ACLJ.org. It's a great resource to see the actual work that the ACLJ attorneys and team are doing every single day. That's at ACLJ.org. And if you support our work this month, you double the impact of your donation. And I always have to explain what this actually means, because one, you're not going to get charged twice, so you're not charged double. But if you make a $50 donation online right now at ACLJ.org, that triggers a group of donors who said they'll match the donations that come through in the month of November. They will match that. So that's effectively like $100 for the work of the ACLJ. But you've got to take that initial action. That's why I use that word, the triggering event, because you've got to have that action for them to match the donation. So let me just encourage you. If you've been listening or you've been following us and the work that we do and you've thought about it before, these are the kind of months where it's a great time to do it, because you can really, again, double the impact of your financial contribution. And we appreciate all of your support, whatever that may be. You may be in that position right now where you can support us by sharing the show, sharing it with your friends, sending out information to your community, and that is so important as well. But if you're in that financial position to make a donation, this is the time to do it at aclj.org. Wes, I want to go back to some of these issues that we're dealing with China. The idea that our own military is said that the pace that China's moving at is stunning. I just want to kind of break that down for people, because this goes back to what I was talking about with Harry. How China was viewed just a decade ago was very differently. It was still kind of cheap labor. Yeah, they're not really good. Morally kind of vague, to say the least. And yeah, they're doing things around the world that we don't love, but they're not really a threat militarily. Economically, maybe. maybe too much reliance. We need it. But then you jump forward 10 years later, it's now a military threat.
Yeah. They have the largest Navy in the world now. Some of their weapons and their technology is not quite as sophisticated as ours, although they're moving rapidly towards that. But the largest Navy in the world, they're expanding their ICBMs, their nuclear missiles. And General John Hyten, the vice chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, made that statement that you just quoted. The pace at which China is moving is stunning, he said. They recently, as you know, tested their hypersonic nuclear-capable missile. And General Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, was asked about that missile test, which is designed to go into the atmosphere, come back in so rapidly that our own defensive missiles cannot target it, so they can hit anywhere that they choose to target. And Milley said the Chinese military capabilities, that the missile is just one concern, that their capabilities, General Milley says, are much greater than that. They're expanding rapidly in cyberspace and in the traditional domains of land, sea, and air. And the thing about China is that they not only are increasing their military capability, but they have the political will to be aggressive, whether it's in economics and trade, in their violation of human rights, or in the military. They not only have increasing capabilities, they have a leader and the Communist Party that are willing to be aggressive regarding those capabilities. And this is not a threat that we can look the other way on. And I hope that when President Biden talks to President Xi today in this virtual conference, that he is keenly aware of what is at stake here.
Harry, one thing I feel with China is that there's still a huge opportunity for the United States. And that is that we kind of created this monster economically. If we decided to invest, and again, not in a partisan way, but to be able to either take, if the manufacturing can't be done here, invest in an ally, not invest in someone that you say, we're not confronting, but we're competing. Because they still, the Chinese Communist Party, it's really in a unique way, because you call it the Chinese Communist Party, is there because of us. I mean, they've got these resources because of the wealthiest nation in the world is so reliant on economically on their goods and their services.
I think that's correct. And in addition, the wealthiest nation in the world is blinded by its own ideological abstractions. So rather than focus directly on China and see China and its government as a threat, we prefer, apparently, to put our head in the sands and say, we don't have to confront China. We simply have to compete with China as if China is following the rules. China is not following the rules. In addition to that, of course, if you look to the infrastructure bill, which just passed, if a large fraction of that was devoted to enhancing our competitiveness with China, this would be a huge step forward. Unfortunately, we refuse to move down this track.
All right, so what we're going to track, obviously, is the meeting later on today, and we'll continue to bring that information. Let me encourage you again, go to aclj.org, support our work. That's aclj.org. It's a matching challenge month of November. And if you're in a financial position to support our work, I encourage you to do so. We will talk to you tomorrow.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.